Welcome everyone to the Westprint Sports Review here on a Waitangi weekend, and what a fantastic day it is here in the city of Sales. I hope everyone is had a good weekend and enjoyed themselves. We've got a good show lined up for you. We'll have Rod Davis previewing the Prada Cup between Ineos Team UK and Luna Rossa. We'll have Brendan McNeice. He's at a race meeting, and God knows what state he's going to be in, but we'll talk a bit of football, and as well as having the panel, Mr. Sean Summerfield and Mr. Mark Watson. But we're going to kick off the show with a bit of basketball, a bit of Super Bowl, and most things good about sports. And I have to say, a very good afternoon to Jordan Mills. Jordan, good afternoon, mate. I hope you're having a great afternoon in Wellington.
Good afternoon, and likewise. Thank you very much.
Well, I tell you what, the Breakers. Anyone that was doubting Lamar Patterson, they will have to eat their words, because he was simply outstanding. The Breakers had an 85-79 win over the Cairns Taipans. I'll tell you what, a fantastic last quarter, Jordan. 26-13, the Breakers outscored the Taipans. Some of your thoughts from that game, Jordan?
Well, yeah, obviously Lamar was outstanding in the fourth quarter. I think he had 13 of his 22 points in the fourth quarter, which is he willed them to victory. Which was great to see. I still think the victory was kind of, it was far from convincing, I guess. They were down for the majority of the game. So it'd be good to see them get a bit more consistent and hopefully do the same thing tonight. And they've got Cairns again tonight, so hopefully they can, you know, put two decent performances together and get across the line again.
Yeah, well, of course, Cairns are no slouches as well, too, Jordan. Sorry, I'm having a bit of a... pardon me, just a bit of a... bit of something caught in my throat. Well, yeah, Cairns are no slouches, but I have to say, Ty Webster, again, he's just been outstanding, and as we were discussing, I think Breakers fans should cherish each moment we have Ty Webster playing with us for the Breakers, because I believe eventually, once COVID is sorted, I believe he's going to end up in Europe and one of the top clubs in Europe.
Oh, he's been simply outstanding through their first portion of the season. He's been leading from the front, athletic, gets the hoop extremely well. You know, for us basketball fans, we haven't seen a lot of Ty outside of the Tall Black campaigns he's been a part of. So it's been, yep, you know, it's been awesome to see him week in, week out, and see what he can do at that level. But I don't disagree with you. I think his quality is, you know, destined for higher honours at some point in his career. He's already played in Europe, so it wouldn't surprise me that he would go back at some stage. So I agree, we're very lucky to have him here.
Yeah, I just watched that last quarter, and I tell you something, it was like the Patterson-Webster show, because whether it was Lamar Patterson doing something, it was either Ty Webster. And I tell you something, he actually, for a guard, he got a lot of rebounds, which I was, some of the rebounds he was taking were absolutely outstanding. Have to say, Finn Delaney had a very good game as well too, Jordan. He's really progressing well for the Breakers, and I think he's been, you know, it's good to see a lot of those Kiwi boys in the Australian NBL, especially on the other side. You saw Jordan Nartai, and you also saw Jared Kenny as well too, so it all heads well for New Zealand basketball.
100%. Yeah, Finn's taken great steps every year and got better every year, which is what you want to see in a in a growing basketball player. I think he's probably 25, 26 now. This is an important stage in his career to take it to the next level, and he's showing that he's more than capable of stringing together, you know, good games after good games. And he's doing it on both ends of the floor. He's very active defensively as well, and obviously a really, really good athlete. So he finishes well around the hoop, and his 3-point shot's been super consistent as well. So he's a great guy and a very, very good basketball player. So it's exciting to see him progress week in, week out.
And of course, Melbourne United are leading the NBL at this time. I watched their game against Perth. They look pretty good, Dean Vickerman's side. And of course, so they're leading it. There were some surprise wins for me, like the South East Phoenix had a win over the Illawarra Hawks. Goodness gracious me, I'm having a real bad day, Jordan. It must be the holiday, I'm not used to it. But they had a good win over the Hawks. And of course, there were a couple of the Kings had a good win. But, you know, this NBL, it's very, very hard to pick, but Melbourne look really good, as do the Hawks.
Yeah, I mean, Melbourne, I think, will have a tougher time over the next couple of weeks with Shaley out with a badly sprained ankle. He's out for a couple of 2 to 3 weeks apparently, with no serious damage, but struggling to walk. So that'll be a big test for them to keep stringing those wins together without a key. He's their sixth man. He's their best defender off the bench, and a spark plug for them. So he'll be out. I thought the Phoenix played extremely well against Illawarra and made it hard for their leading scorer, Harvey. He didn't really do much. So I thought the Phoenix did a really good job combating him and put together a really impressive win. Adelaide were really disappointing against the Kings. They got kind of beaten down, really, and they got news that one of their imports, Donald Sloan, he's going home. He's finished already to pursue other opportunities, whatever that means. But he obviously wasn't that happy there. So that'll be, it's an interesting time for Adelaide as well. They're on a knife's edge with only having one import in a very strong league.
Yeah, well, they possibly... Is there an opportunity for them to bring them in? Obviously, if they bring an import in, he's got to do his, say, 14 days quarantine and then can play. So there still is an opportunity for Adelaide to bring that in, to bring that import in?
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure on Australia's kind of rules around bringing in foreigners and how quick they can get that across the line, but... Look, it's a necessity if they want to compete at any level to make the playoffs and win games. They most definitely need a second import.
They certainly do. Well, there's some good news in the New Zealand NBL. Imports, you can now bring in imports. They're going to be considered as critical workers, which I think is fantastic for our New Zealand Basketball League. Also, ESPN has signed up to... cover the NBL as well too, so I think that's just fantastic. I've seen the number of imports that are coming in to the New Zealand NBL, and I tell you something, Jordan, there's some good quality players there.
For sure, really, really impressed across the league. I'm really happy with our two that we've got in Kerwin Roach and Romaro Gill, but there's also been some outstanding ones get signed to other clubs, and there's still a couple of more to be announced by teams that have signed contracts but haven't announced them yet. But there's 18 American or Australian basketball players that'll be coming into New Zealand for our NBL season, which is super exciting. It just brings the standard of our league a lot higher, and we're missing all those Australian NBL guys to start the season, potentially for the whole season. So getting in these Americans and imports just helps lift and elevate the standard of our league. So it's kind of more respected.
It certainly is. Now, let's get to it. Super Bowl. Now, I'm going for Kansas City Chiefs, mate. I don't know. I know you're a Buccaneers fan. I know you're a Tom Brady fan. But come on, those Chiefs have got to do it, mate.
Well, they're definitely the favourites. There's no two ways about it. They're the defending champs for a reason. And they're I've looked at the bookies, and TAB have them as their favourites as well. But look, you just can't write off a legend, and that's what Tom Brady is. Arguably the greatest player or greatest quarterback of all time. So I'm backing him to do his magic for one more game. I hope he does. But we'll see over the next couple of hours.
Yeah, well, are you watching it at the moment, John?
As soon as I get off the phone with you, I'll be straight on to watching it.
Oh, come on, Jordan. I thought you'd give us a live commentary,
No, I had to be somewhere quiet to speak to you on the phone, Eamon. I didn't want to get too rowdy.
Yeah, good. Of course, there'll be a number of the bars around New Zealand. I think, especially with this being a public holiday, that there'll probably be a big lot of people watching Super Bowl today. I know I'm going down to a bar down in the Viaduct, and I've been down there had half days from work to watch Super Bowl in the past. I've always got a big crowd. I'm expecting a huge crowd today down at the Viaduct.
Sure.
It's going to be fantastic.
Anyone in Wellington's watching it, down at Wellington Sports Cafe, a few of us will be all watching it down there if anyone wants to come join.
Yeah, come down. And anyone that is listening on planetaudio.org.nz, just ask for Jordan. He might get you a free beer. Say you're a great fan of the show, and I think that Jordan will probably give you a free beverage.
Done.
Okay, and if you don't see Jordan, see his old man Nick, who's a good bugger as well too. But don't tell him I said that because I'm a bit scared of Nick. So, but no, I think this day is having this long weekend really, and having Super Bowl on this day really does make it quite quite an interesting day. I suppose there'll be a lot of people ringing in sick tomorrow because I think people will probably get a bit engrossed with not only with the gains but with all the lubrication that tends to go with a day like this.
But no doubt.
Yeah, well, you're very lucky because, as you know, the man that does my football, who is a Wellington resident, Mr. McNeice, who you may or may not know, is Dan is at a race meeting today, so you're probably lucky that you haven't got him in there because he's very tall, he's very big, and you'll be able to hear him.
From a mile away.
Oh, yeah, very, very much a character. I'm going to be speaking to him later, and I don't know what state he's going to be in, but yeah. But yeah, I'm going to go for the Chiefs, but I have to say, I've never been a Tom Brady fan, but I have to say the guy's longevity in this game, he can probably play for another couple of seasons, is going to be interesting to watch. I know that I've got relatives who live in Massachusetts who are also New England Patriots fans, and they're big fans of Tom Brady, so they'll be shouting out. So Pat and Barbara, if you listen to Massachusetts, hope you're enjoying your Super Bowl Sunday. Well, Jordan, as always, it's always a pleasure chatting to you.
Anytime. Thank you very much for your time, as always.
Oh, mate, and when you're up in Auckland, when the NBL kicks off, we'll have to catch up and have a quiet cup of coffee or a quiet lemonade.
Love to.
Okay, thank you very much, Jordan. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jordan Mills. That was fantastic. Our Super Bowl Sunday in America. Great analyst on basketball here in New Zealand with the Breakers and the New Zealand NBL. Next up, we have Mr. Rod Davis. We're going to talk a bit of Parada Cup leading into the America's Cup. I've got a few questions to ask him. One is about this yellow card, which NESUK has, and I'm going to get him to explain it. So we'll play a bit of music, and then we'll get Rod Davis on the line next. Cheers.
Feeling convicted, I know something's not right. Reacquaint my knees with the carpet. I have to get this out, 'cause it's obstructing you. And I dry up the seas that keep us parted.
Welcome everyone back to the West Sprint Sports Review here on Planet 104.6 FM, or if you listen on planetaudio.org.nz. And of course, this weekend coming up is the Parada Cup final. I think it's going to be an interesting final. We have NES Team UK led by Sir Ben Ainslie, and then we have Luna Rosso led by led by Jimmy Spittle, that great Aussie helmsman. And, of course, joining us as he does, and he's been joining us right through the throughout this regatta, has been one of the best experts you can listen to on America's Cup. And I won't call him a legend because he's not that old. I'm pleased to have him on the line. He's kindly done it. He's been at the Dinghy National Championships in Napier. Please welcome to the line Mr. Rod Davis. Rod, good afternoon and thank you so much for coming on here.
Yeah, no problem. Good afternoon.
How was Napier for the Dinghy National Championships?
Yeah, no, it was good. We had a pretty good go. We had 40 boats, so that was that's always that's a nice big fleet. Maybe the COVID times actually helped the one hand in sailing boats. So went really well.
That sounds great. Well, this week coming up is the Prada Cup Finals, Ineos Team UK versus Aluna Rossa. Well, I have to say, looking at that semi-finals, well, it seemed a bit one-sided, but Aluna Rossa looked really fast, Rod. And I've just got to ask your opinion. What do you think would be their strength on them taking out the Prada Cup?
Well, I think one of the things that Luna Rossa has been very good at all the way through in the races is improving with each race, using the races to improve, and they've done really well at that. And they've got four more races than the English do in that thing, so that will sharpen them up a little bit. So it's going to be a very close series, one way or the other, but I think I would probably be leaning towards Luna Rossa winning it, but gosh, that's just a leaning. That's a guess, an educated guess, but it still really is a guess.
Nothing would surprise me, Rod, if it comes down to the final races, because these boats are so close at the moment. And, you know, you have a look at Luna Rossa, really they look fantastic against America Magic. But I have to say that, you know, like Sir Ben Ainslie has been in this regatta has been so clinical in what with Ineos Team UK. So it's going to be quite interesting. What strengths do you think Ineos Team UK can bring to this finals?
Well, I think one of the things that Ben's been sailing very, very smart, he's got a slightly different structure of his afterguard than most of the boats, where he has a dedicated tactician that doesn't try to turn winches or provide hydraulic power. And the Luna Rossa boys have two different helmsmen, so there's no crossing the middle of a boat. So when Ben leaves the helm after attack, it's probably about 5 seconds before he's stacked steering the boat again, where Luna Rossa doesn't have that. Interesting different dynamics on that. One of the things that both teams tend to be very aggressive at the start, Jimmy Spithill and Ben Ainslie both are aggressive. As you know, Ben was with Team New Zealand in Valencia, so I've coached him for a few years there. And yeah, Ben can be real feisty at the start, so expect some sparks, because it'll be big action around the starting line, particularly in the second half of the series. The first half might be like two heavyweight boxers, kind of feeling them out, trying to figure strengths and weaknesses. Second half of the series will have sparks.
I think you're dead right there, right? I think it's going to be a really great, interesting. Quick question. Ineos Team UK are on a yellow card. Can you explain what this yellow card is about?
Well, they've got a warning. They use a main sheet system that was actually of no advantage, but was outside the rules. But it wasn't an advantage, so the jury didn't really put any punishment other than said, "Look, be careful on those rules and don't do that again, or anything like that again." Which, it shouldn't have any outcome or any effect in the rest of the racing. I think it's much to do about nothing, really. The boys will stay within the rules, and yeah, I think it'll be fine.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, I've been meaning to ask you that about that because I've been trying to figure it out. But obviously, if he was to break that rule, he'd be penalised one race, and that's what would happen.
Yeah, but he knows about it, and it's, you know, like I said, it didn't create an advantage. It was a technical situation, but no advantage to doing it that way. It just happened that way.
It's not like what, say, Oracle done in 2013 prior to the America's Cup. This one, it's very, very minor because it's...
Much, not even that same league.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. Well, I'm going to actually pick the winner out of this, and I'm going to go for, a Luna Rossa win, and I think that it's going to be very close. I think this will go to about, I think it's the first to seven, and I think this is going to go to about, it could be a 7-4, but it could be 7-4, 7-5 either way, Rod. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, I would have thought 7-3 might be closer, but I can't guarantee you who's going to have the seven, but I would lean towards Luna Rossa. But like I said, the second half of the series will be very exciting. Somebody will be on the back foot, and they're going to come out aggressive. So watch the action.
Okay, Rod. Well, I have to say thank you very much, and we'll have a chat next week. It's a special show next week. I better let you know it's a real special show, and I'm going to enjoy having you on. It's someone's birthday. I won't mention who it is, but, you know, I'll keep it to myself. But it's someone's birthday, so I hope to have you on next week.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rod Davis, America's Cup expert. And we'll just get to a bit of music, then we have Brenda McNeice next. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review. Well, he's live from Tauara Nikau Races. Please welcome to the air, Brendan McNeice. Good afternoon, Brendan.
Good afternoon, Eamon. How you doing? Live from sunny Tauara Nikau. The sun is splitting the trees. It's an absolutely fabulous day. The beer's flowing. The crack's good. No winners to this stage, but that's going to change very soon because we're going to introduce you to the Randwick specialist. And after we cover our bits and pieces, we'll put you on and we're going to get the punters rich this afternoon.
I have to say, the Randwick specialist sounds like a cousin of the Mad Butchers.
Okay, He's a man of the mad butchers. He's a serious man about the punting, and he certainly put the punters right this afternoon and get them a few dollars into their account.
Well,
we haven't started that well, but the sun is shining and it's a fabulous day here at the Aranico. There's nothing like a country day at the races, Eamon.
I love country race meetings, Brendan. I reckon it's more, it's not as pretentious as the city meetings. It's more, you meet decent people, you have a bit of a laugh, the beer's a lot cheaper, and you just have a lot of fun. Anyway, talking about fun, EPL, mate, I think it's over.
Hold on, you mentioned fun and EPL in the same sentence, Eamon. I'm going to have to pull you up there. It was not fun. I'm a Celtic man, you know, born and bred, but I also keep an eye on Manchester United. I've always fancied Manchester United over the years. And what a disastrous performance against Everton the other day. It was just absolutely putrid. And David De Gea is about as brave as a jellyfish. He's an absolute coward. He should have went for that. Cost them 2 points, and the league's over. Harry Maguire, sorry, not up to it. And, Lindelof and those sort of guys. The defence of Manchester United has been the problem all year and has continued to be the problem. And Solskjaer knows it, and that's why they're not contenders. And he knows they're not contenders, and that's why he said they're not contenders.
I tell you what, you did right there, because I was beginning to, even when Manchester United was still going through that bit of a winning patch, Brendan, they were still leaking goals, and as I just said, I'd rather have Harry Styles from One Direction in defence instead of Harry Maguire.
Yeah, because there's no direction. There's absolutely no direction, but there seems to be some direction of Manchester City now a slow start at the start of the season. That they did start very slow, and on this particular show, we did give Pep a lot of pep, but by the same token, they have got their act together, and look, Liverpool are gone.
They're well and truly gone. I lost to Brighton. I've got a couple. We all have Scouser mates. We always like to give a bit of bullets too. But being a Manchester United fan, it's like the old stories. Those in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, and we can't really throw stones because we lost to the bottom team, Sheffield United. But I have to say, unbelievable. Is the magic of Klopp is still there, because that performance was shocking. I have to say, Manchester City have just played a really quiet game, and they've won the league. I'm declaring it now. The league's over.
I'm with him, and they're 100%. To be entirely honest, the league was probably over 2 or 3 weeks ago. And the thing about it is, and we've said it on the show numerous times, is that City have got the setup, and they've also got the depth of squad. Liverpool and United, and the Tottenhams and the Arsenals, and the other pretenders, Leicester, and guys like that, they just genuinely don't have. It's like we're talking horse racing today. If you want to go 2 miles, you got to be prepared to be going 2 miles.
You certainly do, Brendan, and of course there is a bit of a log jam, because I've declared the league over. If you've heard it first across the world, we've declared the winner is Manchester City. So this is easier to declare than the US elections, but I was just going to say, the log jam that is trying to get the other 3 spots for the Champions League, that's now what's going to interest me. Whether a team like an Everton, whether my old mate Speedy Mulvey's team, West Ham United, whether they can get up there, you just don't know. But talking about upsets, what about Scotland?
Oh, sensational. Absolutely sensational. We got a couple of Scotsmen on the bus today.
Were they buying?
Absolutely jumping out of their skins with happiness, because there is nothing for the Scots like beating England. There is nothing like beating England. But to beat England for the first time since 1983 at Twickenham, and basically, I watched the game, they played them off the park. And hopefully that's going to teach Mr. Eddie Jones a bit of humility. The only thing that disappointed me is that we got tickled up by the taffies.
Well, yeah, we did. And, of course, we had Peter O'Mahony was sent off. I was just getting back to the Scotland game there. And, of course, the guy that scored it with that great Scots name, Van Der Meer,
you know, up in the Highlands.
He's from the he's from the South African part of Scotland.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I've just got one of the Scots mates book from Aberdeen, just giving me a big smile there. I don't know whether that's going to be an Aberdeen kiss later on, but
he might be buying you a drink, but don't expect too much.
he's got gorse in his pocket. He's from Scotland.
We can't say that about all the Scots people, but anyway, the SPL, that's over, so we're not going to talk about that. What about Super Bowl?
Well, it's just kicked off, and the last I checked before you rang, Eamon, it was nil all about 4 or 5 minutes in, but I'm picking Kansas City to win quite easily, really.
Oh, yeah, but it'd be interesting to see if the great Tom Brady can still do it. You know, the guy's got great longevity in the game. They reckon he can play for another 2 or 3 years. We had a bit of a debate on the show last week about this. A lot of people were saying to us, have we had a fallout? And I said, no, we definitely haven't had a fallout. We just had a disagreement.
A lover's tiff.
Okay. you're not my type, Brendan. Sorry.
I know. But I'll tell you what I will do before you go. I'll put you on to
is this guy seen straight at the moment? Is he?
This man is as straight as a day, he's going to tip you and the punters into a couple of winners, one at Tiara Negar and one at Musselbrook. So I'll put you on to the Randwick specialist.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, the Randwick specialist. No relation
Hello,
to the
Randwick specialist here. We've got two here today to keep your head above water.
Okay.
Race 8.
Yes.
Race 8 at Tiranikau, number 10, Tabata. Daniel Johnson, Steve Marsh. Won at Trentham the other day easily. Just get on board. Get involved. Cannot lose.
Okay. And what else, specialist? What else you got for us?
The other one is race 5 at Musselbrook, which is northern New South Wales.
Okay, cool.
It's number 2, Elvisha.
Elvisha.
Trained by Paul Massara. Won its last start on the track. It's drawn 1. 8.50 on the fixed odds last time I looked. So, yeah, that's it.
Is that
and
all
you'll go home very happy and very well to do.
Now, have you got any more specialists?
No, just the 2 for the day, sorry.
I was prepping from what Brendan was saying to you that we were going to have you on. Anyway, are you enjoying your day out there, specialists?
It's fantastic. The sun's shining. It's about 28 degrees. There's a couple of drinks going on. It is an absolutely lovely Tiranikau day.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Now, is young Brendan, is he behaving himself at the moment?
Look, no, he's not, actually.
Yeah, he's a terrible man.
Unfortunately, yes. We're in a special tent, but...
Could
be more special needs than special
stop. Yeah. Okay. We'll keep it at that. So, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, now you can get Brendan on for us, okay?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, pass Brendan on, mate.
Are you there, Eamon?
Jeez. I tell you what, he's given us some great race picks, but I have to say, I think he's already started off well, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's had a couple of
Steinlagers for breakfast. I had to use a button on him, I have to say that, yeah, no, but anyway, you enjoy the rest of your day, Mr. McNeice, and hopefully it's a good day. There's some fantastic bets here. And any predictions for the football week ahead?
For the football week ahead, I'm actually looking forward now to the European Championships with England and Scotland drawn in the same round. I think the Scottish have made a massive statement in the rugby, and they're going to continue that in the Euro Championships. And hopefully Scotland can go down to Wembley and give the old enemy a tonking.
I'm gonna give you a pick who's going to win that Euros.
Who's that?
Portugal.
Portugal, yep, you're making me far wrong. As long as Scotland beat England, I'll be a happy man.
So will a lot of your Scots mates, by the sound of it. Well, not too many on order, and I thank the old specialist, the mad, the what was it, the friend of the mad butcher.
The specialist is on fire, and any time you need winners, you can get the specialist on the show.
Well, I might get the specialist. I might upset our old mate Mike Brown and Paddy Jones, our mates from Avondale, but we may get them on the show. Well, I have to say it's been a pleasure talking to you again, Brendan, and I hope you have a good day. And I know you're not talking as much, so there must be a lot of free alcohol on board for you.
There certainly is, and the thing is that a country day at the racing is just impossible to beat, and talking to yourself's not far behind, so have a great day yourself. Well, hope the punters get on board the Randwick Specialist.
Yeah, well, the Randwick Specialist, he had a few words to say about you. I had to cut him short on some stuff, so I had to cut him off at one point because...
Oh, no, but that's fair enough. He's well used to being cut off.
On that note, we will...
go Tom Brady!
Go Tom Brady, yes, and go Giselle. Okay, bye. Goodbye.
See you. Cheers, mate.
Bye. Well, that was Brendan McNeice and the Randwick Specialist, who I had to cut off, and I apologise about the Randwick Specialist's behaviour, but he did give us some good tips. Next up, we're going to have a bit of normality, a bit of forward thinking, and a bit of straight talking. We have the great man, Mark Watson, and the silver fox, Sean Summerfield. We'll be speaking a bit of stuff. We're going to speak a bit about the America's Cup, Super Bowl, and also a bit about athletics, in which I'm really interested to see Mark's thoughts on that. So we'll just play a bit of music and we'll get on to my two mates next. welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet 104.6 FM, or if you're listening on planetaudio.org.nz, and I hope everyone's having a great day off today. It's fantastic weather out there, and I am joined by, first of all, the silver tongue, silver fox, Mr. Sean Summerfield. Good afternoon. I hope you're enjoying your Monday.
I'm all good, mate. I'm just going to extricate myself from a swimsuit to help my daughter out, and I'm probably not the place to be talking sport, is it?
Yes. In a pinch, yeah. And
that's the thing about radio, mate. You're on the spot.
Yeah, well, you definitely are on the spot. We had one of as I said, the reason I'm getting grey hair is because before I have to talk to Brenda McNeice before I speak to you two wonderful gentlemen. And next on the line we have the man, the legend, the hopeless romantic, Mr. Mark Watson. How are you?
Yeah, good. You've learned in a short period of time, haven't you? Great description. I'm good, thank you. Just up at Hunting Lodge, actually, just in Waimalakau at the moment. So my wife's birthday today, so he's having a little family celebration.
Well, happy birthday. I
had to sort of go and find somewhere relatively cool and in the shade to have this fine chat this afternoon.
A
beautiful place too, mate.
Mm.
I haven't been there yet. I must go out there one day. Maybe
it's
I'll
nice,
get...
It's got a nice pizza beer garden. Yeah, they do a good job, actually. Yeah.
Is it all craft beer? Is it all...
It's all grass, mate. You can put the stumps in and like to take the new ball and come in from the Murawai end.
Oh, here we go. Anyway, let's kick it off with you, Mark. I've been following a bit of the Summer Athletics series in New Zealand. Yep. Of course, the competition between Tom Walsh and Jacko Gilden, it's a bit of a re-emergence for Jacko. As we all know, that Jacko was a junior world champion. Since he's gone to senior level, hasn't really many progressed as many people thought, but he's beaten Tom about, I think it's about twice during the meetings seasons. Is Jacko Gill now looking like a potential medalist for Tokyo this year?
Yeah, look, it's a good story because you're right. We all sort of heard about this junior protege, and how often do you hear about athletes who do incredible things at a junior level and can't quite kick on? But what I like about Jacko Gill, he stuck to it. You know, he's had some adversity, heart problems and all sorts of sort of medical issues, but he stuck at it. And sometimes you will, in all sport, you'll just sit at a certain level. You've just got to keep plugging away. And then you suddenly do have that breakthrough season. You see it a lot in athletics. You see it a lot in endurance sport. And so we are seeing that from Jacko Gill, you know, through 21:51. I was lucky enough to call the men's shot put and women's shot put at the Rio Olympics when Tom won bronze. I think Tom to win bronze through 21:38, I think, to win the bronze medal. So, you know, if Jacko Gill can consistently throw above 21 metres, above 21:30, and really be throwing 21:50 there or thereabouts at a consistent level, look, it certainly puts him in the mix for medals at all major championships, because few athletes really in throwing events at the Olympics throw to their true potential. But that's now the challenge for Jacko. He's got over the 21 metres. He's got to get over it. He's got to be over it consistently now and throw consistently. And that's what Tom Walsh has done. And sort of Tom Walsh was the other way, you know. He was a good junior. Was always in the shadow of Jacko Gill, and then, boom, had that breakthrough season. Maybe filled out a bit more, maybe matured a little bit more. And look, isn't it just great for New Zealand athletics that you've got two guys who potentially could medal at an Olympic Games or World Championship?
Oh, it's just amazing, Mark. And I mean, I covered a bit of this. I'm not nowhere near as involved in athletics as you, but I remember doing a story on young Jacko, and he was, I think there was only one age group record and shot weight that he hadn't claimed. It was just phenomenal. He just owned everything. He made all those training videos, and he seems to have calmed all that down. He's hiding from the media at the moment. And of course, Walsh was such a great story, this builder from Timaru, and, you know, he came in there, and there was a bit of fairy tale to him. But, mate, is he in a funk right now?
I don't think so. I think he's struggled a little bit, like some athletes, with motivation over the COVID. I mean, he's been a world champion. He's been an indoor world champion. He's won an Olympic bronze medal. you know, for him, it's silver or gold is probably the pinnacle. Has he struggled for motivation? Probably. A Jack O'Gill will be the best thing that's happened to him. As I say, to stay number one, sometimes you've got to train as if you're number two, as if you're still aspiring. And there's nothing better than a little bit of internal competition. And so, look, I think they'll key off each other. I think at the end of the day, it's an old cliche, but Athletics, you know, Athletics New Zealand will benefit from this. But, you know, credit to Jack O'Gill too, because I'd imagine, you know, everyone building him up. He's quite simple in his approach and simple in his approach to life. He's a very, you know, very likeable guy. There's nothing particularly complicated about him. But, you know, I'd imagine he wondered if he was ever going to, you know, take that next step. And, boy, now that he's got a sniff, look out.
Yeah, and I'm going to just steal Eamon's job for a moment, because I know he's excited, but not as you at the moment, about everything that's going on in athletics at the moment, like Sam Tanner and Julia Ratcliffe. It seems there's a...
Yep, I had that in my notes, Sean.
I know, I don't want to say there's some sort of renaissance, but it seems there's a bit of a fizz going on.
Yeah, look, let's talk Sam Tanner, coached by Craig Kirkwood out of Tauranga, youngest New Zealander to break a sub-4-minute mile at 17. Surpassing Nick Willis there, you know, supposed to be at the University of Washington, is it? And yeah, clearly with COVID back here a lot. And I've got to say, incredibly well coached by Craig. Craig is a former marathon runner who represented New Zealand Commonwealth Games back in Manchester and dabbled in triathlon. He also coaches Hayden Wild, who I think is a real medal prospect in triathlon in the future. So, you know, Craig Kirkwood doing a great job, but. Look, I think it goes back to Nick Willis, doesn't it? Nick has shown that it can still be done. And, you know, they show it's done. They look at their training methods. Clearly got some talent. But you've got a whole lot of guys, Eric Speckman, a whole lot of guys who are running really, really good times. And I'd actually like to see, you know, try and get Nick back to New Zealand. And one thing I'd like to see is try and have a crack at with the depth we've got in middle distance athletics at the moment. And I'm going on a tangent here, is have a crack at the 4x1 mile world record, which is a world record we've had a couple of times in the 60s and 70s with some of the biggest names that we've ever produced. And that world record is still held by the Irish back in 1985, set at 15 minutes 49. So, you know, I just think a really good way of drawing the spotlight back on athletics. Let's take our distance runners. Let's have a crack at a world record over in New Zealand summer, and let's really profile these athletes. So, yeah, look, athletics in a great place. In regards to Paula Ratcliffe, another one, I was actually very privileged to be able to call her medal at the Commonwealth Games when she won gold. But there's a young athlete out of the South Island at the moment that's throwing further than her at 71 metres. So, you know, why are we suddenly doing so well in the field events? And I think part of the reason we are doing well in the field events is I actually do think that, you know, field events at the Olympics and Commonwealth Games, they're not glamorous. There's not a lot of money in it. And I actually think the great chiefs who have dominated those sports out of the Eastern European nations and even in the United States have been caught, and there's not actually a lot of incentive to cheat anymore. And therefore, the genuine countries, those countries that just do it off good old-fashioned hard work, are suddenly in the mix again.
Yeah, and it's funny, you talk about the middle distance records over the years. There is something... There is a real romance to New Zealand in middle distance, isn't there?
Oh, look, I think when we talk about the black singlet and the silver fern, and I use that as a metaphor, I mean, you look at, I think New Zealand rowing, I think athletics and the All Blacks clearly have put the black singlet and silver fern on the map. And we do have, you know, it is middle distance. For us, 100 metres at the Olympics is not the blue ribbon event. It's still the men's 1,500 metres. It's still the men's 800 metres. And equally on the women's side as well. We haven't maybe got quite the history in it at the women's level, but, you know, certainly, you know, 3,000 metres up with Anne Ordain and the like. So, yeah, we do like our distance runners. But I think just a small country, we just like anyone that's winning in track and field, don't we? Because I say this to everyone. As big as the Olympic Games are, they build the Olympic Stadium for track and field. It is the blue ribbon event of the Olympic Games. You know, the Olympic Stadium is built for track and field. If you can win medals in track and field, you know, you are really putting yourself on the international stage.
Certainly are, gentlemen, and I have to say, you've been following Sam Tanner's progress. So this guy looks like a real prospect maybe for 2024 in Paris. And, of course, in
Yeah, there's no reason why he can't break 330. There's no reason why this guy can't go on and emulate what Nick's done.
I was just speaking about 2024. Obviously, there's going to be some new events. What I'm looking forward to in 2024 is that you'll be still working for Sky, Mark, and you'll be calling the breakdancing at the Paris Olympics.
Yeah, I'm just trying to work out what the uniform is for countries doing breakdancing. Do we go with lycra? Do we allow them to dress in street clothing to sort of match the style?
It won't be a black singlet, Matt.
No, but I'm sure we can. Yeah, it's an absolute. Look, the Olympics are great, but those sorts of things just dumb it down and are just dumb.
They certainly are. Okay, boys, we'll talk a bit. Well, we can talk briefly on the EPL, but if you're a Manchester United supporter like I am, it's not going too well. If you're an Arsenal supporter like Sean is, it's not going too well. And if you're a Liverpool supporter like Mr. Watson here, it's not going too well. I think Manchester City have already got this wrapped up. But do we want to have a quick chat about the upcoming Prada Cup, boys?
Well, I don't know. It's a beautiful weather, a long weekend at Auckland, and there's no racing going on. Just talk about yellow cards and nonsense. But I don't know. For me, guys, I just want to see them get on the water. I think the more they talk now, it's just hot air.
Oh, look, it's a bit like boxing, isn't it? I think a lot of it's about drawing attention to it, creating some media hype. I think the media will just jump on anything and blow it out of all proportion, because that's what the media does these days, particularly the print media, online media, salacious type headlines, something that might have been said sort of almost in jest is sort of picked up and run. So as I tell people, don't believe too much of what you read these days. But yeah, it seems a bit strange. I mean, the whole round robin just seemed to be come and go as quickly as anything, and that's maybe because of the lack of challenges. And now suddenly we're into this Prada Cup, and, you know, before we know it, it'll be the America's Cup. But look, I think sport is, it's important that we do have personalities. As I said, I think one thing that rugby lacks in this country, and I've said this previous week, there's just not enough narratives going on. At least in the yachting, you do have the personalities in terms of the skippers and the Grant Daltons off the water and the action on the water, and there's a little bit of angst, and then there's the performance side of it. But the reality is people are talking about it. And so I think sport can learn a lot from that. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with a bit of controversy. There's nothing wrong with a bit of angst. At the end of the day, you know, the woke, those that love to drive the woke side of society, have actually got to realise that, you know, we as human beings are flawed, and we do like a bit of controversy. We do like a little bit of argy-bargy. We do like a bit of controversy.
I think we all agree there.
And we love a great story, Eamon, and I know we're putting the raising the flag to see if we wanted to talk about Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I sort of do.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm a Super Bowl specialist. I'm going to, after the show, I'm heading down to the Viaduct to watch it with a couple of old rugby mates. One of them actually works with you, Sean. So I won't mention his name, but I mean, it's going to be interesting because the more I look at it, like Tom Brady, you know, he gets a lot of flack, but geez, his longevity in that game is brilliant.
Look,
yeah,
leave Tom Brady alone. Here's a number for you. His Patrick Mahomes, his rival quarterback, who's this new sensation coming through. His mother was only 1 year old when Tom Brady was born.
Eh?
Yes.
What?
She's 44. He's 43. Now, keep this in mind. When Elway played his last game, he was 38. Peyton Manning, 39. Tom Brady is 43 years old, right? Now, he threw 40 touchdowns, the second highest of his career this year. So he's not fading away. He was sacked at a lower rate than his career average. This guy, he's not fading away. And this is just incredible. This is a guy, his 10th Super Bowl, he's won 6 of them, MVP 4 times. Look, I know there's controversy, Deflategate and all that sort of stuff. I have no shame in saying I love the guy. I think just an amazing athlete. He's truly superhuman with what he's doing. You get sacked by these guys, it's brutal. And I think that, you know, you've got a 25-year-old against this 43-year-old, the up-and-comer against the guy who is the GOAT, is just awesome. Yeah, that's all I've got to say.
Yeah, we've been lucky, Sean, haven't we, in our lifetime? I mean, you look how long sport has been going prior to, you know, like I was born in 1970 and stuff, but you look at it, you know, we've seen Michael Jordan, we've seen Tiger Woods, We've seen Brady, Michael Phelps. We've seen guys who have come along and have set records that may ever be beaten in our lifetime. You know, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, and for me, Schumacher and
but we've been actually
Hamilton.
Really blessed, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Hamilton, and prior to that, Schumacher. You look at the history, it goes way back. Oh, look, I can just see if Brady wins this, it'll be in time. You know, the Americans will do their bigger narrative. It was a nation divided. President Trump split a country, but along came Brady, and before he knew it, the nation became one. You know, it'll
the
be
Brady bunch.
Up, wasn't it? They were sort of searching for hope. He was 43 years of age, and suddenly America realized it was great again. You know, and all that sort of stuff.
Hey,
how many craft beers have you had, Mr. Watson?
I just know how it all plays out. But
here's the thing on this though.
Yeah,
there is talk though that. You know, if this game, if he doesn't win this one, he'll ruin his legacy. And I'm thinking, are you guys for real? What he's already done is enough for him to be the GOAT. And in 20 years' time, what happens today isn't going to matter. If he does win today, though, it just puts a big old extra tick beside it.
Yeah, look, all people won't remember that. It's like Michael Jones, when Michael Jones, towards the end of his career, wasn't Michael Jones of old. It's a bit like, I always use the analogy, and Eamon, you'll agree to this, mate. It's like breaking up with a girlfriend when you initially break up with her. You remember all the bad things, but as time goes by, you actually sort of move on, and you actually only look back and remember the good times. You know all about that, both of you gentlemen, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I have to say,
can't remember a bad summer, can we?
Yeah, well, my record's not that good at the moment, as you may know, Mark. I'm still single, so. But any female demographic out there listening, feel free to give me a call. So we'll stop there.
Please do.
Yeah, I think it's probably a good idea. But it's quite interesting when you say about Tom Brady. And what was he picked in the
Six
round. Seventh round. This is a guy that shouldn't even be there. This was a guy who was probably about the third or fourth quarterback choice when he first went into the NFL. And whether you hate him, love him, the guy's story is absolutely amazing. And, of course, I have to say I'm not a fan of his, a fan of Giselle's, but we'll keep that to myself. But I have to say, his story's just been amazing. And, if he wins today, he is a legend.
But can I just quickly say, and I know we're running out of time, but I saw an interview with Patrick Mahomes prior to winning his first Super Bowl last time, and I've got to say, mate, boy, he came across well. Just such a polite young man. Yes, sir, talking to the television host that was interviewing him. Yes, sir, no, sir. You can tell that he's been brought up well. You can tell, in time, let's see once the commercial side and the real money kicks in and the legacy builds, whether he can hold on to that. But, boy, I was impressed by him. There was nothing sort of showy about him. Very much the people's champion, which was great to see. Sports in good hands.
Mr. Summerfield.
Well and truly. Yep, no, just looking forward to having a casual watch. If the boss doesn't find any jobs for me to do around home, I'm looking forward to sitting down and soaking it up. But look, I'm actually a sucker for the whole Super Bowl pageantry, and I always love the ads. When I used to do reports on it, I actually did two stories on the day, Mark. I did one on the game and I did one on the ads. This is before the internet had them all. But it was, I just find everything about it, it's, in some ways it's everything that's good and possibly bad about America, but I do love that side of it, and, it shows that sport can still be the biggest show on earth.
I have to say, just on that, I have to agree with you, Sean. It's the pageantry, it's the whole thing, and I know that sometimes it is Americano, as we call it. But I have to say, it still is a good show. Like you have the halftime show, you've had the big ads. Like one of the first big ads was Apple back in the 80s with their ad, a Super Bowl ad. So it's been it is a fantastic spectacle. And I have to say, boys, it's been fantastic talking to you. And I'll just let you. Guys, know we have a special show next week. Hello?
Yeah, it's your birthday or something, isn't it?
I can't reveal the sources, but it's going to be a special show. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
February 15th, you'd be, 49, wouldn't you?
You didn't have to bring that on air. No, 34 plus GST.
Righty-o.
Hang on, Mr. Summerfield. I know how old you are, young man, and we can debate. And when it's your birthday, I will be sending you a nice birthday cake.
So his coverage is pretty bad now, mate. How are we going, guys? Enjoy the rest of the
week. See you later, Sean. Mark, thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
You're welcome. You take care.
Cheers. Thanks. Well, a bit of bad coverage when we're bringing up birthday ages, but I have to say, yep, it's been a good show. A bit rough to begin with, but we got there in the end. I'm off now, just about to order my cab, and I'm off to watch the